I'd ask you to turn back with me to Luke 21. I read an article not long ago entitled, "What Happened to Repentance?" The author made this statement, "We've come to think that our faith is about our comfort." The author then adds these two words, "It's not." We've come to think that our faith is about our comfort. It's not. There are many in this world who are certainly hurting. There's many who are lonely. There's many who really are looking for someone to care for them, someone to love them. And certainly as believers, we need to reach out to them. We need to share the love of Christ with them. The Scripture has answers. And the answer is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the reconciliation that we have in Him. And certainly we need to be reaching out to people who are hurting with that truth and with that gospel. The problem is that it seems as though many times in our attempt to reach out to others, we tend to forget a very significant part of the gospel. In our attempt to reach out to others and show them love, we tend to forget that the problem is sin, and the remedy is faith and repentance. In our attempt to reach out and show love, we tend to preach a gospel about comfort. Christ will deliver you from the hardships that you're facing, and that's true. And we need to share that. But we can't forget about sin and repentance. The world doesn't want to hear about sin and repentance, but that is obviously the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are sinners, and Christ came to die for that sin, and everywhere in Scripture it talks about faith and repentance. Not that repentance is a work, but it is part of faith, and we cannot neglect that truth. One of the statements in that article that really stuck with me, the author said, "We live in a very easy time. We are the wealthiest, healthiest, most comfortable generation in history. With less to struggle for, we become increasingly oriented toward pleasures." I think that's true as we look at our society today, especially here in America. We are the wealthiest and healthiest, most comfortable generation in history. And we really don't have to struggle for much. And so we become oriented toward pleasure. Life has gotten easier in many ways. Some of you are old enough to remember back in the days of the Depression, though certainly more and more people who lived in the Depression are not with us any longer. Times when it wasn't easy. Times when people did struggle. We don't know much about that today. And so the less we struggle, the more pleasure-oriented we become. And we as Christians are not immune to the cultural trends around us. And we tend to try to bring the Bible and apply the culture to the Bible rather than the Bible to the culture. Are we too much like the culture in our lives? Verse 34 of Luke 21, "Take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be overcharged with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unawares." Lest your heart be overcharged with carousing, drunkenness, the cares of this life. That's what the world is overcharged with, if you will. Or perhaps your translation says, weighed down with. The world's weighed down with the carousing and the drunkenness and the cares of this life. That's what it's all about for the unbeliever. But we can get weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, the cares of this life. We need to take heed to ourselves. Let's bow in prayer. Guide us, Father, this evening as we would be challenged to take heed to ourselves. To be challenged not to allow the culture to influence us in ways that would encumber our walk with you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, this context is the Olivet Discourse, the week of our Lord's crucifixion. And as he gives this Olivet Discourse, he talks about the future. He talks about the judgment that's coming as Christ comes again. He's here on earth at the first advent, but he's about ready to be crucified. And he speaks of the Son of Man coming again, but this time coming in great power and glory, coming as judge, and that there will be great judgment upon the earth. And so as he speaks of that coming judgment and future events, he says to the disciples, you need to take heed to yourselves. You need to be aware of what's going on around you so that that day doesn't overtake you unawares or unexpectedly. That verb, take heed to yourselves, it is a command, but it's in the present tense in the original language, which means a continuous action. You need to keep taking heed to yourself. It's an ongoing necessity. There's never a time when we as believers are not to take heed to ourselves. It's constant vigilance in taking heed to yourself. Again, your translation might say, be on your guard or be careful. The word itself in the Greek, if I can just share the Greek word, it's pros echo. And I say that simply to say this. The word echo means to hold or to have. And the word pros is simply the word to. So literally, pros echo means hold to. And so literally it says hold to yourself. Hold to yourself. In other words, don't let yourself go. But hold to yourself. It's a matter of discipline, if you will. It's about taking control of yourself, or better yet, from our Christian perspective, it's the idea of letting the Spirit of God take control of us. Be on your guard. Pay attention. Be on the constant lookout. Be in a state of readiness. It's really a word that was used with reference to a soldier, particularly a soldier who was in enemy territory. Imagine on D-Day, many soldiers, paratroopers, parachuted out of the airplane into enemy territory. Do you think they were on their guard? Do you think they were taking heed to themselves? They had to be very vigilant. They had to be looking around them. They had to be in a constant state of readiness. They were in enemy territory. They did not have the luxury to let themselves go, either in their thinking or in their actions. They had to take hold of themselves. And they had to control their thoughts. They had to control their actions lest the enemy recognize them. And that's the thought of this word. Take hold of yourselves. And in using this word, it's as if Christ saying you're in enemy territory. You don't have the luxury to not be on your guard. You don't have the luxury not to be ready at a moment's notice. You need to be paying attention. You need to be in control of yourself. Or again, from our Christian perspective, we need to be allowing the Spirit to have control of us at all times. We don't have the luxury to not be taking heed to ourselves. The prince of this world is constantly around. We're in enemy territory. Take hold of yourself. Pay attention. Be on your guard. The world, as it says here, is overcharged with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life. We need to be paying attention so that we aren't overcharged. What does that overcharged mean? Again, your translation may say weighed down. It is a word that refers to a heavy weight, used in a very literal sense in Scripture with reference to a literal physical weight, but often used with reference to an oppressive emotional burden. But here, it's not even so much an oppressive emotional burden. It's just simply the world is full of, and really the King James translation, overcharged, isn't a bad translation. The world is full of carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And if we're not careful as believers, if we're not taking heed to ourselves, we're going to be overcharged. We're going to be filled with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life. It reminds me of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. We're told to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. As we look at the Christian life as a race, and we need to recognize that there's certain weights that we need to put aside, and the sin that we need to be putting aside. The world is weighed down and overcharged with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and they're the things that we need to set aside so that we are not encumbered in the race that is before us as believers. It's so easy to be influenced by the world around us, so easy to be influenced by the society around us, and get weighed down with the same baggage that our culture has, to get weighed down with the same baggage that is weighing down the world around us. Take heed to yourselves. Don't allow your own lust to accept the encumbrances of this world. Three words that are used here, weights that will encumber us in our Christian lives, weights that are prevalent in our society, carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. The word carousing, or the old King James word, is soufetting. It's a word, and again, your translation may use the word dissipation, various words that are used. It really is a word that refers to the indulgence in pleasure. Indulgence in pleasure. It's the idea of extravagance. That's why the word carousing, but it's the idea of extravagance. It's the idea of just indulging ourselves in the pleasures of this world. And indeed, it doesn't take long looking at the world around us to realize, as we read in our introduction that article, that's what it seems is very prevalent in our society today. We talked about it this morning some as well. Just a pleasure-oriented society. A society that just, whatever feels good, do it. That's what life's all about. I have a right to do whatever pleases me. I deserve it. I mention that often, that it seems that is just a word that is just overly used all the time. In one of my Bible studies this week, in our small group Bible study, it came up, and everyone around the table, and some of them are not even believers, but they recognize that even in the commercials on television, that thought of you deserve it, you deserve it, you deserve it, you deserve it, is coming out loud and clear more than ever. And the thought today is that if it pleases you, you deserve it, you have a right to it. Do we as Christians fall into that trap? Do we as Christians determine what we're going to do and what we're not going to do based upon whether it's fun or not? Whether it pleases me or not? Is that our standard? Or is the Word of God our standard? Do we determine what is right or wrong based upon the standard of God's Word, or based upon what pleases me, what gives me pleasure, what I like? Do we go to certain movies because it's a good movie, even though there's things in that movie we ought not be watching and not be hearing, but it's a good movie? Do we sacrifice our families, in order to have, you know, maybe we have two jobs and we sacrifice our family because we want to buy more things so that we can have more fun. All about pleasure. All about what I want. And we sacrifice our families. We sacrifice perhaps our involvement in church, our involvement in serving the Lord in whatever capacity that might be. But we sacrifice it because we have two or three jobs in order to buy all the toys that we want. And though we may laugh at it, I really believe sometimes we live our lives according to the motto, the one who dies with the most toys wins. It seems to be the motto of people today, and us Christians can fall into that trap very easily. It's all about what gives me pleasure. I determine what I'm going to do because it pleases me. Not what's right or wrong based upon God's word, not what God has asked me to do, but what gives me pleasure. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4, the context is, in the latter days perilous times will come. And one of the descriptions of the perilous times is lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That describes the day and age in which we live. And unfortunately, I'm afraid it describes many who claim to be Christians. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. What pleases us is what we really love rather than God Himself. That's the thought of this word carousing. The world is overcharged with that pursuit of pleasure, that indulgence in pleasure, and we need to take heed to ourselves. We need to be on constant guard that we don't get overcharged with that same indulgence in pleasure. The next word that's used here is the word drunkenness, and it is literally being drunk with alcohol. That is the literal word here. It is often used with reference to not just drunkenness with alcohol, but even though that is the original meaning of the word, it was the idea of just excess in general, licentiousness. Certainly the world is out of control when it comes to license to do whatever they want in excess. But certainly drunkenness is part of what he's talking about here, and certainly as a church we've been touched not just with drunkenness but with drug addiction, and that would fit under this word as well. And our county is experiencing great drug addiction. Many deaths just in the last few weeks from drug addiction. The world is overcharged with drunkenness, with drug addiction, with excess. We need to take heed to ourselves that we aren't taking part in the excesses of this world. You know, there are many who use alcohol just to drown their sorrows. They use alcohol to escape the loneliness perhaps that they're experiencing. Or they're taking drugs to try to fill a void that's in their life. And as believers, we have an answer. It's not the drugs. It's not the alcohol. We have an answer. It's God that can fill that void. It's Jesus Christ that can fill that void. We have an answer to their sorrow. We have an answer to their loneliness. Unfortunately, many Christians have been so influenced by society that the world looks at us and they don't really see any difference in the way we live our lives. And if they don't see any difference in the way we live our lives, why would they come and ask us for answers? They don't see any difference in the way we live our lives, and we don't handle trials and difficulties any better than they do. We get filled with anxiety and we face the trials and we start complaining and we start whining and we are filled with sorrow and we go to work week after week and day after day just as down and discouraged as they are. And we express loneliness just as much as they do. And so why would they come to us for answers? They don't see any difference. We need to recognize that we do have answers in Christ. And it needs to be impacting our lives so that we do face the trials differently than the world. That we do have confidence and faith in a sovereign God. And that we do go to work not discouraged and down and depressed all the time, but with joy in the Lord. Certainly there are plenty of things to be discouraged about, but we can look to the God who's in control, and we can be different. And we need to shine as lights in this world. And again, in Philippians chapter 4, in that context of shining as lights in this world or shining as stars in this dark world, the context is in that murmuring and complaining. That's where we need to be shining the brightest. But we, before the world, are just as discouraged and just as down and just as miserable and just as murmuring and complaining as they are. Why would they seek answers from us? We certainly need to show the love of Christ, but we need to show the joy of the Lord. We need to live a life that says, I have answers, rather than being overcharged with the excesses of this world ourselves. Take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down or overcharged with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. Again, Matthew chapter 6 basically tells us we cannot be concerned for the things of God while we're anxious for the things of this world. Again, if we're filled with anxiety, with the cares of this world, then how's the world going to come to us for answers? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says we are to cast our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. Do we faithfully cast our cares upon Him? Or do we keep those cares and anxieties to ourselves? When we cast our cares upon Him, do we in faith trust Him with those cares? Or do we take them back the next day and get filled with worry and anxiety and frustration? It says, cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Do you truly believe that He cares for you? Do you in faith truly live your lives as if you believe God cares for you? Is that what people see in your life? Or do they see you weighed down and overcharged with the cares of life? Certainly, we have responsibilities. Certainly, we have things we need to care for. And certainly God has given us those responsibilities. He didn't save us and take us to heaven immediately because He does have a job for us to do here on this earth. And certainly we need to be an example of fulfilling those responsibilities both within our family, within our community, at the place of our employment. We have responsibilities, but are we weighed down with the worries and anxieties and cares of this world? And if we're weighed down with the cares of this world, we are certainly not going to be concerned for the things of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 talks about a soldier. But a good soldier does not entangle himself with the affairs of this life. It doesn't say a soldier doesn't care for the things of this life in the sense of responsibilities, but he doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of this life. A soldier can't afford that. Especially when he's in enemy territory, as we began this evening. When we're in enemy territory, we need to take heed to ourselves and not get entangled with the things that could cause us great harm in that enemy territory. That would cause us to be encumbered with those cares. And so he says, take heed to yourself. Take hold of yourself. Be on your guard. Be constantly looking. Be constantly ready. Lest that which is in this world becomes that with which you are overcharged. Carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of life. and that day come on you unexpectedly. When we get so involved in this world, and quite frankly, often we are so seeking the comforts of this world that we forget about eternity. And we forget that there is a day coming in which God will bring judgment upon this world. In this world that we are so wrapped up in, this world that we're so seeking comfort in, is no longer going to be here. What should we truly be concerned about? The comforts of a world that's passing away, or the values of eternity? Take heed to yourself. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we're so grateful tonight that our Lord has given us this challenge. It's so easy to allow our lust to accept the encumbrances of this world. And I pray that the Spirit of God in us would indeed control us, and that we would recognize when we are being overcharged with the encumbrances of the world around us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Shall we stand? Father, I pray as we do go about our week, that others would see a difference in us, that we would not be just like the world. I pray, Father, that others would recognize that we have a joy that is beyond this world, and that we'd be a witness and a testimony for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. May God bless you.